at the core of life, whether it's fatherhood or heck, trying to develop a new skill set, you know, you can't go from zero to expert in a day.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, and welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm your host. And tonight, or today, depending on when you're listening, I'm here with my friend, Mr. PJ Simmons. PJ, how are you?
What's happening, man?
A lot. Well, welcome to the Treehouse Studios part 0.5.
Dude, this is crazy. I went around, it's like three floors. This is like everything I dreamed of as a kid. And didn't want to grow up, and I just kept building on to a treehouse. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's like the childhood dream that gets realized when you're in your, you know, 40s, 50s, or in our cases, you know, 30s.
You always have to have that inner kid to keep tugging at you. And
always.
Lean into that, man.
Always. And
apparently you are. So that's awesome.
I am leaning into it. And there's, you know, we've referenced this a couple of times, where there's a story behind this treehouse, which really is, probably not what you're thinking if you're listening to it, but we're building the studio upstairs to kind of have a more plug and play environment to just sit down and do stuff like this.
Yeah, this is maybe a grade down from a cabin in a tree. It's it's not just a slab with a couple of boards up. I'm seeing brick paneling. I'm seeing couches. It's nuts in here.
Well, there's your TV's right there.
Exactly.
You're ready.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll come up here and
two of them side by side.
Oh yeah, there are. Yeah, one's a computer screen. So we're ready for it, man.
I'm telling you guys.
Well, PJ and I have known each other now for a number of years.
Yeah.
And you and I had the opportunity to work alongside each other, build some really cool things together, help a lot of people together.
Yep.
And that it was always so much fun working with you professionally, but even more so getting to know you personally, both the person that you are, the skill sets that you bring into the workplace, but then outside of it, and you're a dad of two, maybe three.
Maybe three.
Soon.
We do. Yeah, we have one on the way.
Okay, I was sweating that one.
Yeah, okay. Not... So two little girls, our oldest is Margaret. She's four. Evie is our one-year-old. She just turned one. Mm-hmm. Think she's four. And then obviously one on the way. We hadn't found out the gender yet.
Are you going to?
Yes. I don't have the patience to wait that long, man. I can't.
You can do it.
I can't mentally do it.
You know, I said that. I'd be curious for anybody who's listening, how many found out, how many didn't. But I said that for our second.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way. I have to know.
Yeah.
So I can plan. I can do it. But we waited.
Do you feel it was more like your third's coming and you've been through this rodeo a couple times? You're like, we'll get here when we get here and I'll find out when I find out.
Well, see, I waited. We did it on the second. So on the second kiddo, we did not find out.
Oh, okay.
And so we get, like, I've got an older boy.
Yeah.
And then when the second came, I was like, chances are, for whatever reason, I thought it'd be another boy. We didn't even have like girl names out there. Well, we ended up getting some at the end, but when she finally arrived, it took a while for that to sink in. So best surprise. I'm not a big surprise guy, but that's one of the best surprises to wait that long. And then that you're having a girl.
Like, oh, frick, it's a girl.
It's a girl. What do I do now?
Now I got to grow up.
Now you got to prepare for, you know, the future, which
yes.
is
Go back and listen to the episode with John French.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We talk about that. But, well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming up here and joining me.
Absolutely.
On this podcast. And I was telling you this earlier. I don't know that I've felt intimidated up until right about now, because you had a podcast for a while, so you actually know some of the things that you shouldn't do.
There's no rules.
That's what I love about
it. There's no rules, man.
Just like being a dad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You ever watch Joe Rogan? They just get in chat. That's what podcasts are. The ones that are typically a little bit more scripted aren't as fun. So
we have no script.
Well, then this is going to be a lot of fun.
But we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
So if you're open to it, tell us a little bit about who PJ is.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, and not to sound cliche, I am a believer, a person of faith, in Christ. It's really kind of a driving factor of anything that I view all of life through: vocation, family, personal. Sometimes I get it right, sometimes I get it wrong. But that's kind of a first and foremost. I mentioned my girls, Margaret and Evie, 4 and 1. My wife, her name is Ashley. Very interesting story on how we met. We met post-college. We were both young singles living in the city in Atlanta, going to the same church, actually. And her girlfriends, they started like a spring kind of kickball league for the purpose of meeting guys. And then like three of us ended up getting married.
What a setup.
So total setup. So as soon as that happened, obviously the kickball league completely disseminated.
So people are warned that if you happen to be listening to this, you're not married yet, and some good looking lady says, "Hey, I've got a kickball team."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say no. Show up to that freaking kickball league.
That's amazing.
Show up. Work-wise, right now, I actually serve as director of performance marketing for a digital agency called Whiteboard. So I get the privilege of leading that. We work with redemptive brands throughout the country and really all over the world,
mm-hmm.
all the way from Fortune 500 organizations to small nonprofits to brand new ventures that are chasing after their Series A funding. And so it is all over the map. So I get a chance to work on a lot of different things every day, which, you know, kind of keeps me on my toes of trying to be sharp and then also not get bored. So I'm having a lot of fun these days, man.
I don't think you're going to be bored. You guys are doing big things over there.
It is. It's a blast. It really is. Some new, you know, not knowing when this comes out, but kind of a new life update. We actually live here in Franklin, Tennessee. We've been here for a couple of years. We've always had this itch, family-wise, desire to get a little bit closer to our family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say our family, more so on my wife's side, to one, have some help with kids. Right now, we're in the season of life where we ain't got nobodies. And it's hard, man. I mean, those families out there, dads that are out there trying to, you know, show love and be a great husband and also be a great father. But find themselves in this grind of day-to-day living and being a husband and being a father without kind of having the chance to come up for a breath of air, of some sort of break or encouragement or anything like that. And so we're looking to make a transition down to Tampa here in the next couple of months. And so we'll be moving down there. And that's where my wife's family's from. It's going to be great having a little help for her as well. So she's really excited about that.
Which in turn will be help for you.
Oh my gosh.
For the kiddos.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that part, and you and I have talked about this a little bit in the past. My wife and I moved a couple times before we had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a rhythm that you can run into and find when you get to a new place and find your community.
Yeah.
You guys came right around the time of when the pandemic happened.
Yeah, it was about 4 or 5 months prior. Yeah, so we showed up and, you know, I think we showed up around October. Yeah, October. And then obviously when time changes, it starts getting winter, everybody becomes hermits. And so that holiday season, you know, everybody's kind of staying aside and
Yeah.
It's a little bit more difficult. You're starting to visit some churches and some social stuff and here and there connecting with people. And then boom, March 20th happens. And then it's like forced shut in for a hot minute. And it's been a struggle trying to get out of that and, you know, connect and develop some deep relationships. The thing about me is, you know, me being the spouse that works outside of the home, you know, I had some sort of built-in community, if you will, of being able to go to work and connect with people. But my wife, man, you know, her community was our 4-year-old and a new baby.
Yeah.
So just seeing her through that, I'm like, man, I gotta make sure that she's served well and do whatever I can. It's part of my responsibility to make that happen for her, to get her some help. And so I take deep joy in being able to provide that for her.
Yeah. Well, and you're going to be closer to the beach. So
yeah,
I'll take deep joy in visiting you.
Yes, absolutely.
And then hitting some of those white sands.
Yes, absolutely.
You're not far from Miami down there.
Not too far. There's some good beaches in
a couple hours.
From Miami, but there's some good beaches around Tampa, man. You got Clearwater, St. Pete, and then some more of kind of the local beaches that aren't so touristy.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fun spots to hit up.
Well, I'll be calling you.
Yeah, and then you got Tom Brady down there. So I'm set, man. You got spring training baseball. You got Brady and the Bucks. You got the Lightning, who just won their second straight Stanley Cup. Like there's no downside.
I was wondering why you had a jersey on already. I was like, what's going on here?
But it's gonna happen soon.
Well, that'll be good. I mean, when we lived in Denver, we had the opportunity to have a great community of friends, but that took time to build before having kids. And then we start having kids around the same time. So then you have a shared experience that builds that community. So it was hard to leave that, but going to where you've got support.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening, like if you're around family, have that support, that's a big deal. There's a lot of help typically can come from that. There's also the other side of that. You have family dynamics.
Yeah.
Very.
100%.
But having a community, whether it's friends that you meet through your church or social events or through your kid's school, you know, it's a big deal. We're communal people. And it helps the moms and the kids, but also us as dads.
Yep.
I mean, you know, just as a dad and, you know, man, having that connection, is that something that's a big deal for you to have connection with other men?
100%. Absolutely. I think at the core of us, we're humans are created to have connection. That's something that I deeply believe. But even in things that I've noticed about myself, and maybe some of the listeners can resonate with this a little bit, is it is so easy for me to kind of get and stay in my own head.
Mm.
And the lies that I tell myself are compounded, and the truths that I tell myself are compounded. And typically, more times than not, the lies are larger than the truths that I tell, just about my worth, myself, how good am I doing? You know, am I making enough mark? Am I serving enough? Am I providing enough? Like those type of things. And so what happens when I consistently am only having those conversations internally, it causes a lot of stress, causes a lot of anxiety. And so I've found that when having other fathers or other men in my life to, you know, one, have somebody say and me hear this idea of me too, like I struggle with that too. One, that kind of common, hey, we kind of go through the same thing. And then two, just learning how they're dealing with it and encouraging one another on how to get our heads straight. Because it is, I think our wives could tell us, like, our heads aren't straight that too often. But man, it sure does feel good when your head is straight. And so, the community aspect really helps in that lane.
And you're pretty well connected guy, because you've had some great experiences and relationships over time. So, you know, for your group, you're moving.
Yeah.
So is your group local? Is it? Who's been your core group of people? You don't have to name them, but
So my core group, primarily derives from my experience coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finished school in 2009, so I've been out for about 12 years. We, over the course of the last decade or so, have floated around. Some of us are in Chattanooga, some of us are in Tennessee, some of us are out in Colorado Springs, kind of all over the place, Atlanta. And really, we literally to this day, every day, are on a text thread, just doing what guys do, consistently jockeying each other. You know, I have a text thread right now of a guy who solicited some prayers for us. He's taking the weekend to go just spend some time with the Lord, try to make some decisions. And we started, you know, hey, we'll pray for you. We're excited for you to take this time. But then we, you know, started pulling punches and started joking. It's like, what, did somebody find some old emails that you sent? Like, you totally got John Gruden, didn't you, this week? That's why you're taking a break and like, So it's that constantly, like, you know, love and fun and jockeying with each other. But yeah, I think for me, college is a unique experience in and of itself, in the sense from compared to the rest of life. I don't know another time, man, to where you are forced into both proximity and time at a significant, I guess, level, both in the amount of time that you spend with certain people,
mm-hmm.
as well as the forced proximity that you are mm-hmm. just to spend with those people over the course of, say, 3, 4, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
more so than probably any other time in life.
Yeah.
So for me, that's where kind of the core of my relationships have been developed from. And, you know, hopefully that's not a discouragement of individuals who haven't had that experience. But I think the lesson that it taught me, coming from that being my experience, is that true relationships and true community really are a byproduct of time spent
mm-hmm.
with other people. There's no way to fast track it.
Yeah.
There's no way to, you know, microwave it. Obviously, there's individuals and guys that and fathers that we may connect with, like, hey, I want to spend more time with you, or that dude I definitely don't want to hang out with. You know what I mean? And so it's those are natural, but in regards to, like, you know, formulating and developing those deep, deep relationships, it takes time.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason I'm also excited about getting to move to Tampa, because it's something that we feel is, you know, at least in our periphery, is a little bit more long-term. And so it mm-hmm. feels more like planting roots and, you know, this yeah. idea of, okay, now that gives me a little bit more incentive to spend a little bit more time with some of the fellas.
Well, because that time takes intentionality.
Yeah.
And that's a word that's used, you know, I hear it more and more now. Maybe it's just because it's come up a few times mm-hmm. on this podcast or whatever, but it's an investment. So one of the questions I had for you on that chain, you've got guys in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Atlanta, Colorado Springs, wherever else, is if you're coming from a college environment, or if you didn't go to college, but you've got some sphere, maybe it was high school for you,
mm-hmm. yep.
whatever that is. And then people disperse.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get into marriage, I still remember when guys started getting married, and I was like, I was like in the middle of our group, mm-hmm. I think, as far as getting married. Things change a little bit and
yeah.
communication changes.
Yeah.
But what are the things that you do in your group
yeah.
that maintain that communication? You mentioned text.
Yep.
But like, what are the things that you guys do to maintain that communication and maybe some of the shared experiences that help build those relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great, great question, because the natural inclination, and it's not that it's bad, it's just it's the product of our culture in regards to being busy, having new responsibilities, like a wife, like kids, who are much more important than your dudes, mm-hmm. obviously. However, it is important to be in those relationships. So some of those things that we've put in place, you know, the text thing I mentioned, we also do a thing typically every, we try to every month. Sometimes it'll be a hit or miss.
where we all connect via Zoom one night. We host what we call, we've actually been doing it since college, is we call it Society Room. And we literally just hop on a Zoom call and we have proposed questions about typical theological issues that we may agree and may disagree on.
Oh, so you're going to create some debate.
Yeah. So we debate. Yeah. We have a little friction.
A little conflict.
And it's so fun because even the conflict, the joking that goes along with it, there's such a mutual respect, both from disagreements as well as kind of the side comments of just like goofing with each other.
Yeah.
So which is a lot of fun. And then, about once a year or once every 2 years, we'll do, a trip. We'll do a connect. So our last one that we did, last October, actually a year ago to date, went out to Montana and did some fly fishing and just hung out at the cabin, some fire.
Where did that?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's something that we try to do. And so, and then obviously kind of your periodic phone calls between different individuals of that group. But yeah, that's kind of the cadence that we have just kind of found ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically, you know, what I found in group settings like that is there's typically one or two of the guys who are a little bit more inclined on to being the intentional one on kind of rallying the troops, if you will, making sure that communication is flowing and prompting everyone to connect, whether that is through a Zoom call or a trip. And so
your catalyst.
Yeah. Yeah. Your catalyst guy. And so that's, you definitely need to identify that one quickly. And, the other guys, you know, your job then is to encourage and prompt that catalyst guy, because that guy typically gets a kick out of it and loves being the one, feeling almost like the savior of the group, bringing everybody together.
I've got a friend that's like that, where he is typically the one that is initiating.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone else, you know,
follows along, man.
Yeah. Or like surpasses him. So he may have initiated it, but then he can't make it.
Yeah.
Which, oh, sorry,
bro. Like you're telling the exact story of a lot of, very similar situations with my guys.
I'm just curious, how big is your group?
So that was kind of a deep breath
that's okay.
Big breath.
We have editing, so
there you go. So our group is about five or six guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten that question a little bit from this podcast, because there's a couple episodes where we talk about the importance of having your band of brothers.
Yeah.
Having a group of men.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you don't have that, like you're about to move to Tampa.
Yeah.
You might be in a scenario where you're gonna have to step into a group of guys and be like, hey, I want to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You may not say it that way, but you know, it's asking somebody if they want to do something, or hey, can I get your phone number and text you?
Yeah.
Like there's some awkward type things that can't come along with that we have to get over ourselves. And I have another question for you.
Yeah.
But, I forgot what I was going to say now.
Well,
help me out here.
Well, to your point, like the idea around five or six friends,
that's what it is.
You guys have probably seen this meme sometimes where it said that nobody ever talks about Jesus's greatest miracle was having 12 like really close friends in his 30s.
That. Yeah.
And I'm like, God, that's so true. Like the idea of having like 12 like really deep connected friendships just wears me out even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of the personality type where I'm kind of a mixed bag of introvert, extrovert. I can turn the extrovert on when I need it.
Yeah.
You know, almost like the stage style. But introvert, man, I just want like, I'd rather go deep with like, you know, three, four, five different individuals, you know, to really know them and them know me.
Thank you. Cause that was that's the question is like, well, you know, how many guys is it? You know, how many guys do I need? Number one, there's no number.
Yeah, for sure.
There is no set number. I know guys that have a very large group.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, how deep do you want to be with people that you can be real with? Because part of that, you know, having friends and the group is one thing, But having somebody that can call you out, kick you in the pants, while also encourage you and know you, like really know you, that may be limited to two or three people.
Very much so. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I was curious. Your size group, mine is about three.
Yeah.
That one actually just came and visited. And if you're listening, I won't say your name. I'm going to tell this story, but no one's going to know it's you except for maybe a couple people. So he was coming in for the weekend, and I had a Spartan race lined up.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, maybe I won't go to the Spartan race, you know. He's like, no, I want to do it with you. Okay, come on. So he signed up, and he totally kicks my butt in the running. And then, you know, I win in the obstacles. I have a lower center of gravity compared to him.
Yeah.
So running's his thing, not my thing.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, I guess he may have caught, like, I don't know, he had a little stomach thing. And I told him, I was like, you're not supposed to drink the water when you go in the mud water and you go into the wall.
Yeah, you would think that would be common knowledge.
You would think, but, you know, it happens. But he's one of those that can kind of pick up and just join in what you're doing, but that you can have those shared experiences with and also be real with. Because outside of the hour and 26 minutes that we spent on that race, the conversation to the race, you know, afterwards, and that's where we talk about all things going on with our life.
Yeah.
Because we don't live near each other anymore. It's those moments. So it's like, how can you recreate those moments when your people are away and not together? Yeah. But it's important.
Yeah, very much so.
I felt like $1 million afterwards because I hadn't had that depth conversation for a little while.
Yeah.
And one of the things too is this comes up every now and then prior to this podcast and even afterwards, having, and this might be contentious, but I think this podcast for some people might be contentious in some way.
I love conflict.
Yeah. Well, apparently you guys do it for fun.
Exactly.
Schedule time for that. I'm going to take a note on that. Friends at the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider you a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a busy season. Mm-hmm. I'd say the last couple months, we haven't spent as much time together. Now you're about to move, but I'm going to come visit you. It's okay. But there sometimes can be a tough balance of having only friends in the workplace.
Yeah.
It seems. And I know that can be a thing for a lot of people. If that's the only source of friendship. Like you're at work, you spend a lot of time, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Then you go home and your circle is still only in that group.
Mm-hmm.
You're working with a couple friends now though. So, I mean, I'm just curious your thoughts on that because I have my opinions.
Yep.
And I think it's good to have friendships, but they're also depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Like there can be some obstacles, like if and when you leave or during even, like some things that go on there. What are your thoughts on that? Since we're on the friendship topic.
Yeah, absolutely. So as it pertains to relying, like having the deep desire to be in community, deep relationships with individuals, I have personal hesitations on relying on workplace friendships for that deep-seated need that I think is very natural within us. And that's kind of a twofold answer here. I have hesitations around it in the sense that you heavily rely just on the interactions at work that happen, that you're banking on that creating that level of depth and friendships.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found, particularly with past places of vocation, is that particularly on exits, there's not a lot of ongoing, if any, ongoing communications with what would be, you know, you would consider a friend or a great friend at a workplace. Now, if there's situations where you develop relationships with friends and people at the workplace, and then you feel really connected to a dude and or a group of guys, and y'all start doing stuff outside of work to where you're engaging in Bible studies outside of work, or you're hanging out, you know, in a treehouse talking about life, encouraging each other, talking about your spouses in a healthy way, talking about, you know, your kids in a healthy way. That's different because it's not vocationally centered conversation typically. Yeah. I'm in a very unique position in my realm of work to now my bosses are my best friends. I never thought that I would be here. It's 12 years removed, almost from when they started the company. I used to swear up and down, I would never work for my, you know, people that I have the deepest relationships with, because it's just too messy. It's just too messy, you know?
Are they on that text thread?
They are definitely on that text thread. Absolutely. 100%.
Hang on.
It is. And it's an interesting, I found myself in an interesting kind of, not conundrum, but just an experience of having kind of my paradigm flipped a little bit to where the common, I guess, provision or suggestion within any type of business is to never hire or to work for your best friends or your friends. And something that our founders say, who are my friends, is thank God we never listen to that suggestion.
Mm.
Because it, the place in the work that which we do at Whiteboard is so rooted into who we are and who we became collectively over the course of the years, the why behind and the way in which we work and the type of projects that we take on are derivative from the conversations that I'm having in these text threads, in these trips out to Montana, in these monthly society rooms where we're discovering and having conversation on, you know, the implications of new laws that may be being passed by, you know, U.S. government.
Can I just join in as a
yeah, absolutely, absolutely,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So you found a way to separate the two.
I did. Yeah, and there's still a hey, tread lightly in the sense that even though we're really great friends, I'm also not an idiot. Yeah. Like you don't, there's a time and a place to where I have the friend hat on. And then there's a time and a place where I have the employee hat on.
Sure.
Now our founders and my friends are healthy enough in their leadership style and in their relationship with me to not take advantage of that.
Sure.
Or to, what's the word I'm looking for? To leverage that more so to their benefit than for the collective benefit of either our relationship or the organization at large. So I feel really comfortable with that. However, even just for optics around other team members, other employees, those kind of things, there's an emotional intelligence and a self-awareness that I have to have to ensure that relationship is, you know, is performing in a healthy way. You know, the things that I say on text threads with them is not something that I can say in meetings, you know, with other team members involved to things. But it has been a really, really cool experience. And so to your question, I have hesitations, particularly going into necessarily new places or places that you just don't have a deep level of already established relationships with. That doesn't mean that they can't be created as long as the facilitation of that relationship, the cultivation of that relationship is not happening necessarily just within the doors of the organization.
Right. So friendship doesn't end at 5 o'clock.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I would agree. Some of my best friends that I still keep up with from previous roles, you know, in the past, came from work because there's a lot of shared experience that happened.
Yeah.
Throughout that time, I think I think where I would stand on that, and just touching on the fact that you found a way to separate the two.
Yeah.
Which is good. And you've got history there. Your scenarios may be different than some. Maybe some are in the same one.
Yeah.
Is diversify your portfolio, mm-hmm. is what I would say. I've got some great friendships that have come out of those. However, I also know some people that's the only core. And so whenever there was a change,
yeah,
they're now left without, because of sometimes there's just awkward dynamics where the shared experiences are gone or things of that nature. So I think the takeaway is, and this is worth what you paid for it, but how do you diversify your portfolio to make sure that you've got a good group of people that aren't just in that work environment for yourself?
Yeah.
I don't know. So it was curious about that, you know, the group that you've got and some thoughts on that. So switching gears a little bit, we've talked about some of the importance of community, Banded Brothers. Let's go to that dad mode. You got the two.
For sure.
You got three coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my first question. Prior to becoming daddy-o, and then you had your kiddo, if you go back and tell yourself three things that you wish you would have known before becoming a dad, what would that be?
Number one, it's going to be harder than you think. It's going to be way harder than you think. Number two, it's going to be so much more worth it than you ever thought possible.
Mm.
And fun. Even though it's so hard, it is so fun. And the number three one, and I think I told myself this, and I don't believe that you can get there until you start experiencing it, is drive harder and harder to just show a little bit more patience.
Hmm.
That would be my third one.
Tell me more about that. Patience. What do you mean?
On the patient side of things, knowing myself, I am a very selfish person.
Hmm.
My inclination is when I'm in the moment of doing something, I want to be doing what I want to be doing. And it's not ever, my habits and my lifestyle is not, I'm not the husband or the father that comes home from work and sits on the couch and pops open a beer and just watches TV and expects my wife and to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking even in the good stuff of life. You know, whether that's working out, you know, whether that's working on a side hustle to try to provide for my family or cooking dinner for my family. When you're constantly having, you know, kids who are tugging on you, asking you 50 million questions.
Yep.
You know, doing something that you told them not to do and then they immediately get hurt and they're screaming bloody murder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, man, just like just try to be a little bit more patient than you were last time, you know,
yep.
is kind of the inclination and understanding that, man, as I look back on my relationship with, you know, my dad, I had the privilege of having a father and a stepfather and
called a bonus dad.
Yep. I can notice tendencies within myself on how I react in regards to how I view myself and how I interact with other people based on how I interacted with my dad. And I consistently remind myself that even the small things are forming and shaping from a childhood development point of view, are forming and shaping how this little one interacts and thinks about the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if me as a father has the largest propensity to either shape that for good or for bad, my goodness, what a responsibility that is.
Mm-hmm.
And
God's not asking us to be perfect, right? And so if I can't be perfect, I can try to be a little bit better than I was yesterday.
I like that. Just a little bit better than I was before.
Yeah.
Not going all the way to the top, have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Which can apply in a lot of different areas.
A lot of different areas, man. That's all of life. I mean, at the core of life, whether it's fatherhood or, heck, trying to develop a new skill set.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go from zero to expert in a day. You're not in competition with anybody else. You're in competition with yourself. Mm. This is what I love about Jordan Peterson and what he teaches.
Mm.
Is like, start measuring yourself against yourself. Can I be a little bit more better than I was yesterday? And then the extra trick on side of that is not finding the strength to do that in your own. You know I'm going to plug this faith, bro.
That's good.
But finding that strength from a higher power, something outside of yourself.
Yeah. Who do you usually compare against? Because I think when you're playing golf or something like that with yourself, and you just want to be one stroke better,
yep,
the next round, right? You want to be one step better, working out one rep better, patience with the kids, you know, hold that tongue a little bit more.
Yeah.
Take that to work.
Yeah.
You've led teams.
Yeah.
You're a great leader.
Thank you.
We've had a chance to lead together.
Yeah.
The patience, and this is what I love when we talk about dad skill sets and leader skill sets in the work zone, or if you're not a leader at work, but still taking it with clients, whatever, how they transfer. It's not like there's no line that says when you get home, all your things that you apply at work stop.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. But in that comparison game.
Yeah.
If we're not playing against ourselves, who are we playing against? It could be very different for each of us.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things is the realization that we might be concerned or worried or whatever about what other people think about us, which to all the way back at the beginning, that narrative that plays inside of our head, really we're playing against ourselves, because that's going to even change how we project ourselves.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just open-ended question.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, not necessarily a certain individual when it pertains to compare myself about being a great dad. It's even the struggle of comparing myself against what I think I should be. Comparing myself about what I think is the right picture of what a great father is. Well, a great father does this. A great father always does this and never screws up here. A great father would never do that. And then time and time again, you come up short. It's like, that's not a healthy approach.
Mm-hmm.
The goal isn't to become the picture of a great father. The goal is to become better than you were yesterday, to be exactly what your kid needs from you today. Oh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit better than I was each time.
Yeah.
Not comparing against whatever narrative, image, shadow that's created. May not be a person, may not be a thing, maybe they.
Yeah.
But more the idea of what it should be versus the idea of what I can do better each time.
Yeah.
Killer.
Yeah, man.
I like that. One last question for you.
Yeah.
What caught you off guard or surprised you when you became a dad that maybe you didn't expect?
Well, the first one was that when I found out that I was having a girl, and no rhyme or reason. I grew up with brothers. There weren't any girls. It was just me and my brothers. So I don't know, subconsciously, I was just expecting to have a boy. And so when I found out I was half a girl, I was like, what? I don't know what to do. And so that was very new.
Still
and then
don't know what to do.
Now that I've had two, I'm like, I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Kind of. And I love being a girl dad. Being a girl dad is absolutely amazing. Man, but another thing that took me by surprise is, I think going back to this comparison thing, man, I thought
that I would be better than what I actually am.
Mm.
Man, I thought it's so weird, man. Do you ever find it not only in fatherhood or parenting, but all of life? People who typically are doing either less than you or who have never experienced what you're experiencing think that they know the right answer to whatever it is that you're trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. Sometimes that's me.
That's what I'm saying. that was me in the sense that, like, I thought I would be this type of dad or this type of father, or I would have this figure. And it goes back to that comparison of my idea of what a great dad is and should be. And so I had to switch my thinking. I had to, and it's not a, all right, I switched it, I'm good. Like, it's a daily grind to say, okay, like, let's move away from trying to be this perfect and then continue to move on compounded interest of getting better every day.
Yeah. Put in the reps.
Yeah. Putting in the reps, man. Absolutely. And then look up 6 months from now and, oh man, I've experienced some growth. I'm not snapping it at my 4-year-old like I used to, or, you know, enjoying, you know, staying in bed and reading a book to my little girls before they go to bed much more than I used to 3 months ago, you know, type thing. And it's just those small wins every day. And then to be able to look up 6 months from now, 12 months from now, and being a better version of yourself.
To that point of thinking that we want to go with confidence, right? Mm-hmm. The growth mindset, open mindset, like we want to foresee the win.
Yeah.
But when you get in a scenario and then you realize, oh no, this is a bit different, a little harder, mm-hmm. or not what I expected, there can be a tendency to go to the flip of that, the inverse, which is I am not.
Yeah.
Which is also not good.
Yep.
It's more along the lines of what I will be.
Yeah.
What I want, what I will strive to be.
Yep.
And then that building rep after rep, a little better each time to get to that place. And not shutting ourselves down and saying, I am not.
Yeah.
I may not be now,
mm-hmm.
but by golly, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
And then also touching on the Band of Brothers, maybe there's some people who've been there a little bit further down the road than you.
Yeah.
To then be able to tap into and say, hey, what did you experience?
It is, man. And this experience actually happened to me recently. And this is why I love my guys so much, because they bring me back to a point of simplicity and encourage me not to complicate things and bring me back to truth a lot of times.
Mm.
And recently I was in Asheville, North Carolina, with some of these individuals. And we were talking about fatherhood. We were talking about being great dads. There was a recent book came out from John Tyson and the Barna Research Institute. And I was making some comments around, man, I really need some great resources on how to do X better, how to be a great dad, have an impact, you know, all these kind of things. Like, how can I optimize my way to figuring this out? And one of my best friends stopped me and he said, PJ, he said, I'm fully convinced that the only thing that you need to do to actually become and be a great dad is to just be present. Just be there. Like, you don't have to figure out all the new tricks and all the new books and all the new tactics and the new ways of, like, having every hour planned, you know, that you, when you're not at work, that you're doing something significant to create memories for them. Like, yeah, that's great. Like, implement some of those things. But when we try to over orchestrate the experience of creating a byproduct of a great father,
mm-hmm.
and not actually lean into just simply enjoying the journey and being there, we miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's true, man. Having the community to bring you back to a place of reality and place of truth is incredibly important. Trying to get better than you were yesterday is incredibly important.
trying to not chase after this vision and picture of who you think you should be is incredibly important. And being present, being there, showing up every day is incredibly important.
Love it.
Yeah.
Sometimes those moments that we think are the unstructured, boring ones end up being the ones we remember forever.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Yeah, man. Loved it. Absolutely.
I'm excited for your upcoming new journey, new season.
Thank you.
We're going to miss you here.
Yeah, man.
But we'll miss you for long because I'm going to be coming down to the beach.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Get the tan on.
And we ain't going to stop podcasting.
Nope. So.
Well, you, this is what one thing COVID taught us. Taught us how to connect somewhat significantly through video.
Yeah. Ironically, we're live in person. So you just have to come back to the treehouse studio
when it's
fully finished.
Exactly. By the time I come back, y'all have a bedroom with AC hooked up in here and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we tore that down to build the studio.
Yeah. I promise you, there's enough room here. Y'all can find a bedroom in here somewhere.
We'll put another one. But yeah, I've been looking forward to sitting down with you and glad we were able to get in and, you know, thank your wife and your kids for letting me borrow some of your time here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe down the road we'll do it again.
Absolutely. 100%.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
All right, bud.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you've listened all the way through to this point in the podcast, I know there's some takeaways that you got in there. We talked about a variety of things here tonight, but PJ's just one of those fun guys to sit down, listen to, talk with, and just has a lot of wisdom in there. But the most important thing is that you can take away something and apply it to your life. If you know somebody that you think this would be impactful for, we'd ask you just please share it with them. If you're listening to this podcast, hit the subscribe button if you want to hear more. But again, we're doing this to help others, equip others, and would also love to hear your feedback. You can go to theskilleddad.com to learn more information as we continue to build out that resource. You can follow us on the social platforms at skilleddad. But again, the most important thing is that you can find some things that you can take, be encouraged by, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming the skilled dad. We look forward to having you join us for the next conversation and hope that you have a great week. You're listening to The Skilled Dad.